Welcome to Legacy Church Amelia Island. We pray that you are blessed by the message that you are about to hear, and we believe that it will help you leave a Christ-glorifying legacy for generations to come.
Hey, why don't you put your hands together if you're enjoying your time so far? Thank you for being here, part of our legacy community. If you're joining us in the building or online, we're so thankful to have you here with us. If you're new, welcome. Let me warn you, we're huggers. And so if you see one of us and we hug you, it's just kind of a thing around here. If I haven't had the pleasure to meet you, my name is Carlos, and I have the privilege of leading this community of believers here at Legacy Church, where we're establishing a legacy every single time that we meet. Well, there's so much happening in the life of our church. I'm going to bring up to speed with a couple different things going on. The first is, someone say Legacy Social. Right after our services, you don't want to miss it because we do it about once a quarter. Right through these doors, we're going to have our Legacy Social, which is going to be talk to you about the life of our church, how to become a member, how to get plugged in, how to know what's going on in the life of our church family. It's an incredible, incredible time. We have childcare. Someone say childcare. We've got refreshments, and you're going to have a great time. Courtney and I will be teaching it. It'll be a blast, I promise you. And then before I jump into the new series today, I want to take just a moment. Many of us are aware tomorrow is what? September 11th, where 22 years we now remember. Someone say remember. We remember. There's just a few moments in life where you know exactly where you were when something happened. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you remember where you were when you heard about the towers and you heard about everything? Do you remember where you were? I remember that day, and you know, we reflect and we remember for a couple things. One, we remember those who lost their lives in the building. The next is, there were men and women, first responders, firefighters, firewomen, and police officers, and different first responders who willfully went into that building. And the Bible says, greater love hath no man than to lay down their lives for another. They did that. But then we also remember God's providence and God's hand, who's healed and who restored since that time. And so just for a few moments, just take a moment of silence, just pray however you feel led. Thank you so much for doing that with us here today. Today, as a church family, we head into a new series. And these are always exciting times because we get to position a new understanding, a new concept from the Word of God. And we come out of a five-week series where it was really talking about not just God's love, but God's purpose. Not just for the church, but those who would be a part of the church. And so that was amazing. And really, it's gonna connect with this new series that we're really seeking God's face in. And we're going to call it God Loves Culture. Someone look at your neighbor and say, God loves culture. I want to talk to you in the next few moments from this thought, the power of culture. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you that we have this awesome privilege to be in your house. We thank you that wherever a community of believers gather, Lord, you promise to be in the midst. And we know when people come in these doors and people log in online, Lord, they're going through a whole host of things, Father, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, financially. But the unique quality is that, Father, we can all leave different if we leave those here at your feet. And so for the next few moments, Father, limit every distraction internally and externally, Father, that we might seek your face and might come away encouraged, challenged, different. In Jesus' name, amen. What I want to see is that sometimes we are missing things that are right in front of us. And what I'm beginning to see in our culture specifically is we're missing oftentimes the culture that God desires. The culture that God desires for all of us. You know, we come to these services, we come to small groups on Wednesdays, and we read through a book. And what maybe we don't always understand is we're reading through a book of culture, a book of kingdom culture that wants to invade our culture. You know, I've got friends who work for the biggest companies in on the globe, whether it's Microsoft or Apple or Amazon. And one thing that these companies do so often and preach so much, probably more than we do, is they preach culture. See, they understand the importance of culture and what that means and how significant of a role it should play. And I just wonder, being in the South, where we're called the Bible Belt, right? Where we're very church, quote-unquote, culture. I wonder if we know more about cultural Christianity than the true culture of Christianity. Do you see what I'm saying? And I think in this series, as we unpack that God loves culture, the hope is that we identify what God's culture really is and what it really isn't. And what's so unique, if you think about it, is that the world is affected by the culture in this book, whether they know it or not. Literature is affected by the culture of what? The Bible. Governments are affected by the culture of what? The Bible. The family, what you and I know as a family, do you know who started that thing? God. This was his very best when he wanted to start a community of people, a world of people. He starts with what? The family. This is God's heart. From the place I'm speaking to you here today is a country, United States of America. Do you know what we've been founded on? A culture of Judeo-Christian principles. And I wonder how often we reflect on that and remember or even think on the importance of the culture that God has given us and the influence that we see in our culture from his word. There's this great verse you may have never seen in this manner, but in this way. And I want to show you this in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It speaks to culture in a very unique way. It says this. It says, don't copy the behaviors or the behavior and customs of this world. It said, don't conform to the wrong culture. This is the unique tension you and I have. This is the dichotomy you and I have right now. We're in a culture, but we're supposed to reflect a different culture than we're in. We live, we work. Anybody retired in the building? Raise your hand so we can see who we hate in the building. We want to be you secretly. We live, we work, we're retired in a culture, and we constantly have to have this in our mind that God has a kingdom culture, that we are supposed to be in the world, but what? Not of the world. In a very unique way, because the Bible says they will know us by our love, so we can't be these crotchety people that said, oh, I don't even belong here anyway. Now, that's weird and that's strange. Please don't do that. Don't be like that, right? But there's this unique thing that God is saying, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. He's trying to help us understand what his culture versus the culture of a fallen world, fallen nature. Why do good things happen? Or why do bad things happen to good people? You know, well, we're in a fallen world. Why do the unexpected things happen to people who don't seemingly deserve it? We're in a fallen world. So God says, don't conform to the culture of a fallen world, but do this, interject my culture in your world. Everybody in here today, wherever you work, or for some of you retired folk, wherever you don't work anymore, you're called to inject culture. We are culture carriers. But the problem is a lot of us don't know what culture we're supposed to be carrying. You can see this best in younger people, in students, people in their 20-somethings. They're trying to be anything they're around. Have you noticed this? They're trying to become what they see. And you can tell in their language and in their actions and the things they say, how they dressed, right? Well, who were you around? Your kids come home and you knew they're around somebody different because we don't talk like that in this home. There was a culture that somehow came in your home overnight, even though you've been raising them. The culture just entered your home. And so he speaks about this culture, but watch how the scripture goes on to say this. It says this, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you do what? The way you think. Culture is most effective when it changes the way you think. Culture is most effective when it changes the way you think, the Bible says. You may or may not be aware of this, but if you travel outside of the continental United States, people think differently. People act differently. People live differently. There's different cultural things that are appropriate and not appropriate. You can ask Courtney. We've been all over the world together, probably over 20 countries at this point. I've broken pretty much every cultural custom in every country possible. Funny enough, around that time when that video was made for the Queen's Jubilee, I was in the vicinity at, is it Hyde Park? With no shirt on playing soccer in a park. Come to find out, that's frowned upon. You're to wear a shirt and shoes. I had neither on. I saw a pickup soccer game. I said, let's do this. Let's make this happen. And some of our British friends said, you did what? I said, I didn't know it was the custom. But there are customs that change the way you think. And because I'm very American and we look for any opportunity to get comfortable and take a shirt or some shoes off, I brought my customs into a kingdom that wasn't exactly appreciated, I found out. And I'm just wondering, are the customs that maybe we're bringing to the kingdom of God and to our gatherings and to our families? I mean, we dedicated our children this morning. I'm wondering what customs they're going to be brought up in. The customs of the kingdom of this world or the customs in the kingdom of God. And the only way we know these customs, the only way we can walk out these customs is to know the customs of God and of his word. That's why, like never before, it's so important to desire God's word, desire God to speak to you. My dad taught me when I was very young. I got his Bible when I got saved at 12 years old. True story, my birthday was last week, and I got a Bible from a friend, and it's goat skin, and it's like the super nice preaching, teaching Bible. Yeah, I've got my ratty Bible here on stage because it's that close to me. But my dad taught me this. He said, when you read this word, you have to pray for illumination. Did I know what illumination was at 12 years old? Not really. But I began to remember that, and then when I felt, okay, that's what illumination means. Lord, illuminate my heart and my soul. Because every day I live, every day I wake up, chances are I'm going to check the email of the culture of this earth. Chances are I'm going to go to the news. Chances are I'm going to do a lot of other things that are going to infect the culture of God in my life and in my heart. Is that making sense? You and I are constantly, whether we know it or not, there's this challenge of culture. There's this challenge of what will I follow? What will I speak? But Romans says, how will I think? How will I think? And right now, we're going to see as we go through this message today and throughout the week that you are like Carlos in Hyde Park during the Queen's Jubilee with no shirt on and no shoes, screaming like a loud American. Very culturally appropriate, right? Really inappropriate. And you're going to see the difference, I hope, in what God desires culture to be and not to be. God says in the scripture, don't copy and don't conform. Don't copy and don't conform. I wonder if you go back to maybe your adolescence days or being in school or being the first day on the job and thinking through the times you copied and you conformed and you said, yeah, this is not how I talk. This is not how I act. But you made that cultural difference. You began to copy and conform. And what I began to notice here in Romans is that it's a different audience then than in the room today. See, when the scripture was written to the first century Jew, the first century Gentile who came along into this new faith called Christianity, they knew the culture of Jesus. He was there. And most recently, he had his disciples and then the first church. So the culture attached to Jesus, it was very present and very evident. In our modern day and age, there's a whole lot of culture that's not God. There's a whole lot of culture we're slapping on at Christianity or cultural Christianity, and it's really not God. And so I'm wondering, do you and I have a false sense of reality? Do you and I have a false sense, a watered-down version of what God would call his culture? And we wonder why our marriages are on the rocks so often. We wonder why we're having issues at home and issues, and there's so much dysfunction. There's more dysfunction than function in our lives and in our hearts and in our homes. Where dysfunction seems to be the common denominator in most things that we're a part of and most things that we do, could it be there's just the wrong culture that we're copying and blending into the wrong culture and life? And the readers of the original culture understood what God's culture was and what it wasn't. And so I think for you that we have so much tension in this thought frame that we're going to have to, throughout this series, look at every single space of our life and say, hey, is that the kingdom culture from the word of God? Or is that my culture? Is that how I was raised? Is what I grew up in? Is what someone told me? Or is it what has just worked for me? And begin to ask those questions and begin to see God reveal himself to us. That's what I want to do in these next couple of weeks together. Because what you'll find out is that God wants us to see the culture, not through the lens of culture, but the lens of his word to establish a godly culture. There's this great exchange in the Bible. It's in Matthew chapter 22, verse 35. And we'll spend a lot of time in that conversation today. Most of you have read this. Most of you have heard this. It'll sound familiar when we read it. But what most of you probably don't know is this is a question of kingdom culture is what this really is. And so someone who is a proficient in the law, we would call it a lawyer, but not a lawyer in the sense that you and I know a lawyer as. This would be, he's proficient in the law of Moses, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. The only Bible that existed at the time of this conversation, there was one Bible, it was the Pentateuch. Then they had some, the Tanakh with the major and minor prophets, had Mishnah, other things that help explain that. But it's very limited from what you and I would see. And they're still asking about culture. Watch this conversation. Verse 35, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. He's talking to Jesus. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Translation, what does God highly value in culture? Remember, they had rules for rules as a Pharisee. Rules to not break the rules. They were consumed by rules. And this person wants to know about the culture of the kingdom of God. And here's Jesus' reply in verse 37. He says this, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And he would go on to say, you know, the second as well, with loving your neighbor as yourself. But what you're seeing here is that part of God's culture is loving God. Part of God culture, God's kingdom culture is loving God. Now, Jesus, what he's referencing here in this scripture, they would have known because they had it memorized. He's referencing the Shema, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. He's referencing loving God and how to love God. And once again, I just wonder if we're so far removed from God's kingdom and God's culture where we say we love God and we don't really know what that means. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In our culture, what do we love? We love Amazon. We love Starbucks. We love air conditioning. Can I get an amen? We love convenience. The kids, they love Jordans, right? This word's thrown every which way around. We love, we love, we love. And so I'm just wondering, when we hear that word, Jesus says, you want to know what kingdom culture is? You want to know the values that God honors? He values loving God. He values having a right mindset and a right precept of loving God and what that looks like and what it doesn't look like. That's what he truly, truly values, loving God. And if we're going to love God properly here today, if we want to get outside of dysfunction and everything else that has been hindering us and stopping us and the sin that so easily besets us, if we want to get out of habits and behaviors, if we want to truly nail this thing for once and for all and have a consistent walk with the Lord, if we want to have a proper culture, you might be shocked to hear that it begins with loving God. I want to give you four principles today for my note takers on what it truly looks like to love God. And here's the first one. Loving God equals the principle of first. Someone say the principle of first. A culture of loving God starts with the principle of first. I've walked this out in my life, this next thing I'm going to share with you. And here's what it is. If God is first in your life, everything can come into alignment. And if God is not first in your life, nothing can come into alignment. See, the principle of first is putting God in the place that he is to be, not just because he's worthy of it and honor and glory due him, but because nothing in our lives can come into alignment. Although we can try and we can work hard and we can be as prepared as we can in the natural, without that spiritual component, you're going to have the hurt and the pain and the trauma and the dysfunction you can't seem to shake. You're going to have the lonely nights and the sleepless nights. You're going to have the what if and the anxiety and the constant fear without that alignment. How encouraging is that to think that if you can align things with God, everything in your life can be aligned. And conversely, I've lived it. It's not just a thought. If you don't align things with God, nothing will be in alignment. Everything will be happenstance. Everything will be chance. Have you noticed in our culture, hope is a moving target. Hope is very, very circumstantial, based on economies, based on all kind of policies and politics. not for this culture. We've always had hope. We've always had hope. It doesn't matter what's happening in the world and in their culture. Let them worry about those things. We have hope in the kingdom culture. It might be informational for you to know. It might be interesting for you to know. But God was all about culture before Amazon and Apple and Microsoft. God was all about culture. He was setting culture. He speaks of culture from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. It's all about culture. And when God is forming a people, he forms a nation. But before he forms a nation, you know what he does? He forms a people. So you're always loyal to him before the nation. He forms a people. And as he forms a people, they're called Israel. They're the Jews. He forms them through Abraham. And before Abraham, it was Moses. And as he's forming them, in Exodus chapter 13, verse 1, and Exodus 23, and then Proverbs 3, you're going to see how he's forming the people as he's forming the nation. And it's so interesting because he's forming culture. Let me read you these three couple of scriptures really quick to really give you understanding of the principle of first. Of loving God first. Exodus 13, it says this, the Lord said to Moses, set apart for me the what? The first. Don't miss that. That's huge. The first boy born in every family, the oldest son of every Israelite mother, belongs to who? Belongs to me, God says. Every male animal born what? Second, third, fourth, fifth? Nope. First to its mother belongs to who? Belongs to me, God. Exodus 23:19, bring the last. Bring whenever you get a chance. Nope. Bring the best of what? First fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God, to the temple, to church. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the what? Best part of some, of a quarter, of everything you produce. And so as God is teaching his people this principle of first, what he is saying is you honor me first with your first child, your first lamb, your first fruit, and the best of everything you produce. Because what he knows as humans, we begin to arrange our priorities, our schedules, our relationships, our finances around everything that we consider important or we perceive important. Putting God first means we give him priority in everything we do. He is the principal figure, and everything comes in line after him. He's the only thing that you will plan in your schedule this week that can bless you. Think about that for a moment. Of all the plans, of all the meetings, of all the emails, and right now you're itching to check your text messages. I know, just itching to check them. Of all the things that you will send and what you will do, he is the only thing that can bless your life. Are you hearing me? That's why you would do well to give 10% of your income, because of all the things you're going to pay, the mortgage company can't bless you. The auto loan company can't bless you. Your financial advisor cannot bless you. Your family vacation, it can't bless you. But God can bless you. He's promised with the principle of first. He's promised with loving him in the way that he desires to bless us. The only thing this week that you'll do with your time that will cause blessing would be to spend time with God and be obedient with him. I was thinking about this the other day. Have you ever thought about the things that God can't do? Have you ever thought about that? The things that God can't do. It's pretty interesting when you let your mind go there. God can't change. He's called immutable. That means he couldn't get any better. He is the best. That he loves us. He's for us. He lives to intercede on our behalf. God loves you more than you ever thought. I don't know what your week has been like. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know if you feel valued. I don't know if someone has hugged you today. Probably if you've been in this church, probably been hugged once. I don't know if someone has told you matter and your life matters and you're wonderful. But if you don't know, that's how God feels about you. And that never changes. Even through your life and what you've been through and what you've done, what you haven't done, he loves you and he's for you. The Bible says he lives to intercede on your behalf. The Bible says even before you're in the womb of your mother, he knew you and he loved you. The Bible says while you were an enemy of God, he sent his son to die for you. That's the kind of love I'm talking about. And so he can't change. The Bible says he's immutable. Not only is he immutable, but the Bible says God can't think. A thought never occurred to God. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He houses and he holds all knowledge. God has never been saying, you know what, I want to bless you like this today. I just thought about this. Which should bring you comfort that he's always wanted to bless you. He's always wanted to preserve you. He's always wanted to make a way for you, your family, your children, your grandchildren, your business. He's always wanted to do these things. And so when we pray and fast like we are tomorrow as a church, we'll be gathered here at 6:30. You never have to approach God and tie his arm behind his back and want to bless you. No, he's always wanted to. It's just coming to alignment and agreement, not with your will, but his will. Not with our kingdom, but his kingdom come and his will being done. And so he's a God who's immutable. He's a God who's omniscient. But watch this. He's also a God in theological terms. We would say he's a God that lives under the principle of first. He is the preeminent one. What does that mean? That God couldn't accept our leftovers if he wanted to. He couldn't accept 5% or wouldn't it be a tithe. He couldn't accept part of my life or it wouldn't really be my life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The moment God accepts third, fourth, or fifth best in our life is the moment he ceased to be God. The moment he ceased to be holy. Is that making sense? God is so holy that he can't accept just whatever we have left over. Now, at the same time, please don't get that confused. He wants you to come as you are. I hope today we have in our church people who came in t-shirt and shorts. Oh, we have people who came in maybe barefooted. I don't know. How people came in very unquote unquote church-like, because he wants you to come as you are. Come with all your baggage, all your hurt, all your pain. It's funny. God's the only one who really wants us to be ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Like if you truly told your neighbor what you've been through and what you've overcome, they probably would stop saying hi as much, right? Be like, hey, be careful. Our neighbor's really weird. They've been through a lot of stuff and they got a lot of dysfunction in their life. Like he's the only one that wants you and I to say, hey, give me it all. All baggage, all hurt, the skeletons in the closet, the stuff that nobody knows about. Give it all to me. He just doesn't want us to come half, but whole. Are you seeing the difference there? Give me everything. God wants you and I to be transparent, but he can't deal with some of us. He can't just deal with the Christmas and the New Year's and the Resurrection Sunday and the when my family says. He wants all of us. He's the preeminent one. All or nothing. That's why when I say cultural Christianity, that's a false sense of security in our culture. Where you take the grace of God and you use it to live and do what you want and say, God understands. I am so sorry that somebody told you that God understands. If you read through this book, it doesn't say he understands. It says he has a standard. And his standard welcomes you as you are and loves you as you are. But what I found from my life is that he loves us too much to leave us the way we are. And he begins to love us so well. Where, watch this. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that compels us to repentance. Not the beating down of people for their alternative lifestyles and different things that you don't struggle with. So then you get mad at them for doing because you don't struggle with those things. You know those things? It says the goodness of God compels people to repent. And I just wonder the circles that you're in, if you could tell them about the goodness of God in your life. And how good he could be in their life that would just want them and compel them and lead them to change. But God is the preeminent one. This is who he is. The Bible says he changes not. And so we think about understanding God and his culture. Understand this. If you want to love God well, you have to love him through the lens of the principle of first. This is who he is, and this is what he desires in our life through that lens of the principle of first. I'm trying to think. There's so many other things I want to share, but what I want to do here is I want to close with that one today, the principle of the first. There's so much else that God has on my heart, but I will have to break this up because what I want to do, I don't want to run through a bunch of different principles today and it fall on deaf ears or maybe we have too many focuses, but I just feel in my heart to stop right there today. You have to come back if you want the rest of them. But in my heart, I believe this week, If we can start with the principle of first, it would mean everything. If he gets not the last part of your day, but the first part of your day. He doesn't get when you're the most weary, when you're the most tired. If he gets when you've got fresh energy and strength in your body and in your mind and in your heart, I believe that you'll begin to see things differently as you make decisions, as you go through life, as you go through different things, that you will see the benefit of asking God, Lord, I want everything in my life to come in alignment with you. And I get it. Not everyone is in the same space in the building. Not everyone's in the same space online today. And that's okay. But if you started to give God the first part of your heart, the first part of your mind, your thoughts, your energy, before you give anyone or anything else, you would see a change. Not because I said, because the Bible says. Because there's certain principles that God has put in the world. There are certain laws that can't be broken, like gravity. Some of you have found that thing breaks really quick. There are certain principles and laws that can't be broken, and one is the principle of first. I encourage you this week, in your life, in your mind, in your home, in your relationships, in your workspace, think through the ways of how you might put the Lord first, how you might honor the principle of first, and I want you to see how he reduces anxiety and fear. Now he begins to open doors that maybe you didn't know could be opened, first internally and then externally. Lord, we thank you for this great reminder that you love culture. And Jesus told us the most significant part of culture is loving God. And your word reveals how you are to be loved, and it's loving you not in second or third place, but first. And so right now, I'm praying over people in the building and online, Lord, that we've got to begin to look at our heart and look at the culture of our life, Lord. Begin to right now, in Jesus' name, reveal the things that are coming before you that are first. And right now, we write that perspective. We realign that perspective, Lord. We're not sure how we're going to do it, but we're going to ask you to give us the strength and the courage to put you first. To seek your face first. To do like what Jesus says, to love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. And put our neighbor love our neighbor as ourself. Lord, this is our desire and our prayer today, that you would teach us and show us how to put you first in this area. So right now, if you could begin to ask God, what areas is he not first in? And chances are it won't be very difficult to think about those areas. Chances are it's the areas that are stressing you out right now, the areas that consume you the most, the areas that cause the most loss of sleep and frustration are the areas that right now God is not first in. Can you begin to surrender those areas to God right now and trust that he has a purpose and trust that he has a plan for your life? And lastly, with your heads bowed, if you are far from Jesus in this place, if you knew him at one point in your life and you've walked away, or maybe you've never prayed for yourself, Lord, come into my life and change me. I want to put you first. We're going to pray a prayer with you. And this is the most significant part of our service. Yes, it's important to teach. But if there's anyone in here that is far from Jesus, that is lost, we're going to ask you to come home. We're going to ask you to be part of our family. Because God loves you and he's for you. And so if that is you, we're going to ask you to pray along with our church family to rededicate your life to Jesus today. And trust that he's got the details. Just come as you are. Or maybe pray that prayer for the first time. Let's pray this together. Lord God, we believe in you. We repent of our sins. And welcome Jesus into our lives. Holy Spirit, change us. Transform us. Give us a hunger for your word. For accountability in your house. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you put your hands together for all those who prayed that prayer, who rededicated their lives and received Jesus for the first time? Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you would like more information about our church, please check out our website at legacychurchai.org or follow us on social media at legacychurchai. We'll see you next time.